All righty, we continue. This is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Let's head out to the guest line right now and welcome in our buddy from Fox Sports, legendary NFL insider in Jay Glazer. Jay, appreciate the time as always. How you been, my man?
Good, brother. How you doing, man?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. So I know you're here today. We'll talk some football in a bit, but you want to discuss your diagnosis and your journey with dealing with ADHD. Just tell me a little bit more about your story throughout the years.
I think anybody who's seen me over the years going, yeah, well, that's a shocker. He has ADHD, but it's ADHD Awareness Month. So I've teamed up here with Qelbree, which is for the first time I've had a medication that's helped me. And it's a non-stimulant. But look, I got diagnosed in 1989 with ADHD. And obviously, I've written a book now on my mental health struggles. I got ADHD and depression, anxiety, throw some bipolar in. But I got diagnosed in 89 before anybody knew what it was. And I got kicked out of my first college. People don't know this. Got kicked out of my first college because when I started going to classes, they had like 3-hour lectures. I wasn't able to handle that with, you know, my ADHD. So I got kicked out with a whopping 0.00 GPA. And in my second school, that's when I was diagnosed. And the teacher there, the psychiatrist who was helping me said, all right, we need you to, you know, explain to your teachers, go take a break when it's happening, go outside, put some cold water on your face and take this pill also at the time. And when I was trying to explain it to my teachers, they thought I was like, you know, Matthew Broderick from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, that I was trying to pull the wool over their eyes. And they were like, you have what? I'm like, ADHD. They're like, what is that? So I used to have to explain it to them. And, you know, over time too, again, those pills that I was taking were not great for the depression side of my life. So I haven't been dealing with this for a long time, you know, pharmaceutically. For the first time with Qelbree, I found something that actually works. I take it at night, so not during the day. It's a non-stimulant. It helps me be able to calm down the roommates in my head at night, focus a little bit more, because I used to just sit up all night and think and plot and plan it. Just, man, it doesn't stop, and you got bad sleep. And then you wake up frenetically the next day. So now at least I wake up more focused the next day also. So I've tried over 30 meds for depression, anxiety, and none of them have worked. And I'm going to continue to try new ones whenever they come out. I've just been resistant to them. And then these other ADHD drugs haven't worked. Qelbree is the first thing that's worked for me in a long time. So I'm like, I'd love to go talk about it.
Jay, so clearly everyone knows your job. A lot of people depend on you for NFL information. Yeah. You move 1,000 miles an hour, mm-hmm. and you really value relationships. But sometimes when you're working on your craft and becoming the person you are, you lose focus on yourself. How tough was that for you to find that balance of, okay, I love my job, but I also have to take care of myself because I've been ignoring that for so many years?
I never did until this year. And really till I you know, came out with all my struggles. And it did get to the point, you know, look, this is something that I deal with every day in my life. And I didn't sign up for it. I know people will look at me and go, oh, come on, quiet, Glaze, your life is great. My life is great. But between my ears sucks. And like I said, I didn't sign up to wake up every day in this gray and thinking the sky's falling and the world's against me. And sometimes it's worse than other days, but I never really gave myself grace and compassion or learned how to deal with it. I just went. I was just relentless, whether it's after the scoop or after different jobs or after my career. But eventually you've got to be able to do some self-care. That wasn't in my repertoire until now. And thank God I started before it was too late. But there are times in the last couple of years I'm like, it's starting to feel like it's going to be too late. So now because I've opened up and I've talked to people, you know, being able to give mental health issues words, that was important for me. God blessed me with the ability to communicate. I wanted to tell people what depression feels like and anxiety feels like and ADHD feels like, so they could start talking to other people and if you could have the words, you can open up. And for me, by opening up, I built my team a lot stronger, and I've been able to be of service to people better by giving a word so they could have the talk with their husband or wife or kids. Or I've had grandmas tell me, thank you, for the first time in 80 years.
Wow.
I could describe to my husband and kids and grandkids what I struggle with. That's pretty damn powerful. And nothing I ever thought my darkness, the type of light my darkness would ever lead to.
Were you ever close to saying, I need to give up my job, I need to get out of the spotlight to really focus on yourself?
No, but I've been close to a lot of times. I've said, man, I hope tomorrow doesn't come. So it's been bleaker than that. And, you know, I made the choice a long time ago. I never commit suicide. I would never do that. Wouldn't be an option because I don't want to leave that crater of what happens to my son or now my girl Rosie or my fiance Rosie or my friends or anything like that. So I'll take on that pain. So I never wanted to leave my career because, quite frankly, my career, the chaos of the career, I've been great in chaos, whether it's in a cage or whether it's in, you know, on TV, I'm great in that. I just suck in calm. And, you know, I've tried to seek out calm more in my life now and realize, man, it's an uncomfortable place for me. But the only way I'm going to exist, I've got to find out ways to value those calm moments more and exhale and be able to exhale. But I love the chaos of it. No, I love it.
Jay Glazer here with us. All right, let's get to some trivial matters with what we were just talking about. Yep. The National Football League, NFL insider for Fox Sports, Jay Glazer here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. The big topic today is Kirk Cousins and his future. Everyone's throwing out the Jets. How likely do you think it is that a deal gets done where Kirk goes to the New York Jets in season?
Why are they throwing out the Jets today?
Well, they've been throwing him out for the last few weeks, but now with the Justin Jefferson injury, it's like, uh-oh, maybe this thing actually happens.
Well, first of all, I think Aaron Rodgers plays there next year, so it doesn't really make a lot of sense for them to go trade for, you know, Kirk Cousins. Kirk also has a no-trade clause.
Yeah.
You see why he's going to sit there and go, oh, yeah, let me go to the Jets right now. I just don't see it happening.
How about Bill Belichick? How warm is the seat in New England right now?
Yeah, I think Bill – I think everybody thought he just had carte blanche forever, and I don't think that's the case. That's an interesting relationship there, I think, right, with him and Bob Kraft. Bob wants to win. And, you know, sometimes places just get it's time for a change of scenery somewhere for something. And I don't know if this is the year for him or not, but, you know, whatever's happened isn't working there right now. But I still think you got to give – it's Bill Belichick. I mean, still got to give him some grace of what he's done and his whole body of work.
I'm a Patriot fan, and This year is like the first year I'm legitimately annoyed at him. Because last year, I knew it made no sense with Patricia and Judge, but you thought he would fix it this year. Sure, you bring in Bill O'Brien, but the biggest problem is they have no talent on this offensive side of the ball right now.
Yeah, certainly. I think you look at it, and somebody asked me today, well, what if they bring in a GM? You're not going to have a GM over Bill Belichick. That's not going to work.
He won't allow that, yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. So, again, whether they decide to do that, and I don't know what the future holds. You know, like, when I answer questions, I like to be right. Mm-hmm. I don't know the answer to the question yet, but the only thing I know is it's the first time we have legitimate questions. There's been times in the past people have said to me, oh, is this the end of Bill Belichick? I'm like, you out of your mind? No, it's not the end of Bill Belichick's. No, absolutely not. It's, you know, the guy, he is a football genius, but people got so, you know, finicky and I think spoiled with their winning in the past when things happened. They looked at it like, oh, it's time to go. No, let's be careful what you wish for. They do that with Mike Tomlin all the time in Pittsburgh. Dude's never had a losing season, ever. Not one. And, you know, just kind of, you know, be careful what you wish for and change sometimes.
How about what the Texans are building right now? Because they've impressed a lot of people through the first 5 weeks, Jay.
I think it's D'Amico Ryans, man. I mean, it's great. And I think, look, players or coaches like D'Amico Ryans, Dan Campbell, man, a Sean McVay, guys that are so authentic, I think they resonate more now with players than ever before. And what I mean by that is, players nowadays, nothing's real in their life, right? They look on these things. They look on these phones, and you're looking at social media, and you're seeing things that are just fake. It's filtered. It's a highlight of someone's day. It's not real. Or on Twitter, a bunch of bots are hating on you, right? So you have so much fake stuff in your life. If you can get people who are real and make you feel real, it's going to resonate with you. And because they're getting so much hate, I think the old world way of just beating guys down isn't – it's not effective as effective as it used to be. It's almost like it's you got to kind of almost tell guys, instead of telling them what you don't want now over and over and over, you got to coach them up what you want.
You mentioned Dan Campbell. In the NFC, we know the Eagles and 49ers are Super Bowl contenders. How many other Super Bowl contenders do you kind of look at with what you've seen so far and say, okay, those are the contending teams in just the NFC?
Look, I think those two teams you're talking about are head and shoulders right now above everybody else. Dallas, I still think when they're clicking, you could see what they do. But Detroit just keeps growing, and they keep growing and keep growing. So, look, it's so – we don't know who it's going to be usually till week 14.
Yeah.
See whoever's healthiest, right? And look, the 49ers last year, you wouldn't have thrown them in this mix. And all of a sudden, you know, everybody gets hurt, and Brock Purdy goes in there, and he's as efficient as really anybody we've ever seen. If you look at his stats, he's the most efficient quarterback we've ever seen. And that just, you wouldn't even think about putting them in this conversation. So many things can happen between now and then. And I know it's not the sexy answer, but it's the true answer. You got to see whoever gets hot and healthy the latest is who you got to worry about.
Do you think, Jay Glazer, that Kyler Murray is going to be on a different team this time next year?
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah.
And then what?
I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know. I got to look at that contract again. I don't know how tradable it is and what has to happen. There's so many questions, though, because it's, you know, you when you come back from an injury like that, it's not just, oh, can you run and drop back? It's, hey, can you be as effective as you were beforehand? And also, is he going to vibe with the new head coach? They don't know the answer to that at all.
Last thing I'll ask you, Matt LaFleur as a head coach. We saw him with Rodgers. Now he's five games without Aaron Rodgers. What do you think Matt is as a head coach in this league?
I think Matt's a good head coach. I mean, look, also like when he was with Tennessee, he went from, you know, being a passing guy to let's just get the ball to Derrick Henry, right? So I think a lot of coaches, a lot of offensive coaches always want to, you think they just want to be this high-flying offense. When I see a guy kind of check that ego and say, nope, we're just going to run the ball, that shows me a lot about them. I just don't think overall, I don't think the personnel is good in Green Bay. And that offensive line has been a mess. Their running back is hurt in Aaron Jones. Receiving wise, I don't think their weapons over there are very good. So I think it's hard to tell how good a guy is. And yes, you look way better with an Aaron Rodgers. But by the way, again, the Packers are a different team where their GM says, hey, here's the recipe. Here's the ingredients. You cook it. You deal with it. It's not a partnership there like a lot of other teams have.
Jay Glazer, appreciate you sharing your story. Thanks so much. Also talking football as well. You be well, my friend.
Thank you, brother.